This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, you may do so through regular mail or through my website. And remember, the website does have this program on it, so you can re-listen to it there. Now, we've been looking at the miracles of the Lord Jesus. And we've been doing that because these miracles prove that he is the very Son of God. In our passage that we're going to look at today, he's called the Son of Man. But it's obvious that the issue in our passage today is whether he is also the Son of God. And so we have been looking at this theme verse that I have been concerned about in Romans 10 and verse 17, which says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And because the message that we hear will affect what we believe, we want to make sure that we are hearing the word of God. And so the question is always that always arises, is the Bible the very word of God? Well, I believe that the miracles are one of the reasons why we can believe that Jesus is God and that the Bible is the very Word of God. And so as we look at these miracles, we find the Lord proving that he was with God in the beginning. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the Word is, of course, the message of God. It's the God speaking to us. And so through the Lord Jesus, God has spoken to us. We have the Lord as the living word, and we have the Bible as the written word. And of course, as we begin to compare the Gospels and the teachings of the epistles, and when we begin to look at the Old Testament prophecies, as we have already done concerning the fact that the Lord is going to come the first time. When we look at all of these things and we find out that the Bible consistently tells us a consistent message about the Messiah that was to come in the Old Testament, who has come in the New Testament, and who will come again in the future, when we find that message to be consistent, even though that message was written by many different authors over many different years, it gives us confidence that not only is the Lord the Son of God, but it gives us confidence that this Bible is the Word of God. And if you'll listen to what the Bible says, then you can have faith in the one I have faith in, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world to save his people from their sins. He was called Jesus for that reason. He came to save his people from their sins. And we find out that some of these miracles were designed not only to physically heal, but to spiritually save. And I believe that we're going to look at one of those miracles today with regard to that very issue. Now, I'm going to look at the ninth miracle, where Jesus heals a paralytic that was let down through the roof of a house. And I'm going to read it from Mark chapter 2, because it seems like we get some details in Mark that we don't get in the other two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, that record the same event. So Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" And of course, that's the issue, isn't it? Was the Lord God or wasn't he? "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves," now here's another miracle, "he understood what they were thinking, even though they hadn't outwardly said it. So, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man, and here he's called the Son of Man, even though he's proving that he's also the Son of God, and that he is God, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw anything like this. And you'll notice in verse 12 it says, Immediately he arose and took up the bed. And that's one of the key verses, key words found in Mark's gospel. Immediately, I think in the old King James, it says straightway. But things that happened in Mark's gospel happened immediately. The Lord was the servant who did what he did immediately. He didn't hesitate with regard to serving the people and serving the Father. So there's several points we want to make as we look down through this particular miracle. And the first one is that it took effort to reach the Lord. And it takes effort for us to reach the Lord. The Bible says, Seek and ye shall find. It also says, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able when once the master of the house has risen up and is shut to the door. Now, I know that you could say it's inconsistent to say that salvation is by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, it's not of works, and still tell people to strive. Well, the point is they have to strive to find out that there's nothing they can do to be saved, and they have to strive in order to come to that point where they can't save themselves and they realize it. They need to strive so that they can rely wholly on the Lord. But when we look at striving, that means that we believe that we need what the Lord is offering. And when we strive, it brings us to the Lord, and it makes it clear that what we want is worth going after. And if you have very casually thought about your relationship with the Lord, you'll probably never be saved. But if you begin to think clearly, and if you begin to want your sins forgiven, if you want a physical healing, which may or may not be available today, and we won't go into that today, but spiritual healing certainly is. And if you want that, then it would seem to me that you would traverse heaven and earth. You would journey over heaven and earth in order to find that salvation that you're looking for, and you would find that it's available for you by doing absolutely nothing except trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it took effort to reach the Lord, and these people were willing to make that effort because what they wanted was worthwhile. Many people, as I've said before, coming to the Lord, think it's such an easy thing that it makes a person wonder if they really understand conviction of sin. Do they really understand their need? Do they really understand the value of what Christ did at the cross? When we understand our spiritual need, we will make the effort to find out how to be saved. Now it says that the Lord healed this man because of their faith. But salvation is personal. We can only be healed because of our own personal faith. So what does this mean? Well, I believe that the man himself likely wanted these men to take him to the Lord. I believe their faith is not only the faith of the four, but the faith of the paralytic as well. And I think they all had faith that the Lord could in fact heal the paralytic, or they wouldn't have done what they were doing. And the faith of the four blessed their friend, and the faith of the friend, who was the paralytic, found that he was able to get blessing as well. So he probably prevailed upon his friends to do this, and they were willing to do it because of the faith that they had. But faith in the Lord has still got to be a personal thing when it comes to being saved. Now, when we look at the fact that the Lord says your sins are forgiven, you could ask yourself the question, is this imparting salvation to this man, or is this saying that the sin was the result of a lifestyle? And it could be both. Now, as we look at miracles in the Lord, of the Lord, many of them are healings that took place because the person had sinned in their life. And some of them are healings of sin that was the result of the nature of sin. If we were to go to John chapter 9, we would read about a blind man. And what we read there is, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." So this man had sin that was the result of the sin nature, but not the result of a lifestyle. But the man who was brought in to be healed by his four friends and was let down through that roof, I believe, had his problem as a result of a lifestyle. And so when the Lord says your sins are forgiven you, he was releasing him from the consequences of the sins of his lifestyle, whether in our day we would say it's a drug use or perhaps an accident that caused paralysis because of driving while drinking. It was an issue that would be similar to one of those issues in my mind that this man needed help with. And the Lord said that his sins were forgiven him. So it was interesting that the Lord is able to heal both kinds of problems, but in this case, I would say that it was a lifestyle problem. But when it says his sin was forgiven him, I suspect that the Lord was also giving him the assurance that he had become a child of God and was saved by faith, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this passage, the scribes and the Pharisees were there, but they were not listening to the Lord because they really wanted a blessing from him. They were being critical. And so they said he was speaking blasphemy when he said that he could forgive sins, because only God can forgive sins. And so blasphemy is kind of hard to interpret and kind of hard to define, but it's to speak slanderously and to attribute divine nature to people who do not have a divine nature. That's one of the issues associated with blasphemy. But in fact, the Lord was not blaspheming because he was the very Son of God, and that was the point of the miracle. But the real thing we need to understand as we close this particular miracle and our teaching on it is that the Lord only has power on earth to forgive sins. Many people think that after they die, this issue will be taken care of, but the Lord has power on earth to forgive sins. And we need that forgiveness in a spiritual way right now. The Lord said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he forgave the soldiers who had crucified him, and he can forgive you. And you need that forgiveness while you're here on earth. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.